is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Now we'll be coming back to that specific scripture in our next all-age service. But what we felt we wanted to do was to have a better look at parts and some of Psalm 119 to find out what the psalmist has discovered for himself there and what maybe the Lord is signposting us to. And that's why we've been looking at several of these stanzas, if you like, of 119. And we're not going to spend 20-odd weeks on it. Whether you're pleased to know or not, I don't know, because the psalmist does repeat quite a bit of it. One of the things he says, and he repeats quite regularly, is meditating upon the word, which is why we did a short little meditation on the word in our prayer time together. And I would encourage you to try and do things like that when you're at home. When you're reading your Bible, if there's two or three words that shout out at you, stop and meditate upon them. Lord, why are these few words shouting out to me? What do you want me to hear from what is being said here? Stop. In a world which is rushing around doing all of its own thing, seeking the next bubble, give ourselves space to stop and hear what God is truly saying. So, Lord, why have you highlighted this psalm for us here in Stanground Baptist Church, specifically at this time? Because you see, I don't believe that God mumbles, and I don't believe that he makes himself inaudible to us. When he wants our attention, he will make himself heard, trust me. Think Samuel, called three times before it twigs that this is God talking to him. So don't be sorry, don't think, oh Lord, that was you, wasn't it? And I've missed you. You know, Samuel did too. Eli did too, you know. So just keep your ear waggling, listening out still. Think Paul. We're in our house group studying the book of Acts. Think Paul at the moment. You know, God sometimes gets your attention when you don't want it in flash light bulbs. And for Paul, it was a case of being blinded for a while, but he sure got Paul's attention. Now, that doesn't happen to all of us, but there are times when it does. Think Joseph, the dreams that he had. You know, take Mary as your wife. Now, go and flee into Egypt. The dreams, these images that he received. Have we had dreams? Expect them. Hear what God is saying through our dreams. Think Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. Visions. Let's not poo-poo visions. Just when we are meditating, expect to hear from God. Expect to see something from him. Expect to see hear words, but also expect to see images. Write them down. So I believe that God has a lot of ways of getting our attention. And he can sometimes become quite insistent when he wants something for us to be aware of or to do. And maybe for some of us, we've all been there. You know, if you're sitting there thinking, well, it's not happened to me, it has. Trust me, it has. When you felt that desire to be baptized, I bet you struggled with it for a while. You know, should I be doing this? Lord, no, I don't need to do that. That's God's persistence. Or maybe you're there and you're thinking, well, this is the church that I'm coming to, and therefore I need to jump in. I need to be member here. And you're struggling with that and saying, well, yeah, but, You know, and God can be very persistent sometimes, really persistent. And one of the, maybe it's even something as simple as, I need to ring that person. And the thought won't go away. Or I need to email or write nowadays, but the thought won't go away. I need to visit. I need to pray. When you're in a conversation with someone and you hear, I need to pray, and the thought just won't go away. So you say, do you mind if I pray with you about this? Don't just blunder in. Do you mind if I pray with you about this? And if they say, I'd love you to, well, then you know. This is God speaking to you. So it's not all the big, always the big things. It's the little things as well. Learn to hear God being persistent with us. And one of the main ways God reveals himself to us is through his word, the Bible. The Bible is the authoritative, reliable, and powerful word of God. Did you hear that? The authoritative, reliable, and powerful word of God. And I believe God wants us to make knowing it a top priority in our lives. The Bible is not a book of helpful hints for happy living. All right, that's not me, that's theologian Steve Cole's words. It's not a book for hints for happy living. It speaks with authority. You don't believe me? 2 Timothy 3:16. It's one of those 3:16 passages. And we hear there, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, that's you and me, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what this is all about. It brings us, the Word of God brings us into a living relationship with the living God. It is, the Word is our stability as we go through trials. The Word gives us direction in life as we study it, really study it, and act upon it. The Word produces a purity in our hearts and brings us joy and delight as we get closer to our Father. Now I ask you, what's not to like about all of that? What's not to be sought after? What's not to be a bubble that's not going to burst? You know, that's what we should be seeking after. And I believe, I truly believe, that that is God's aim and plan for all of us as we walk together to grow his church here in Stanground. Do you want to be in? Do you want to jump into that? Do you want to be part of what's going on here? So today, I'm looking at verses 33 to 40 of Psalm 119, and I've asked Bola to come and read it for me.
Amen. Psalm 119, from verse 33 to 40. It says, point out your rules, Lord, and I won't disobey even one of them. Help me to understand your law. I promise to obey it with all my heart. Direct me by your commands. I love to do what you say. Make me want to obey you rather than to be rich. Take away my foolish desires and let me find life by walking with you. I am your servant. Do for me what you promised to those who worship you. Your wonderful teachings protect me from the insult that I hate so much. I long for your teachings. Be true to yourself and let me live. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Bola. I'm going to read it again in a different version now, because there are so many different versions, and I especially wanted Bola to use one that we normally would read from, because it's not an easy psalm, to get your head around. And this is the Message version. God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me. My whole life, one long, obedient response. Guide me down the road of your commandments. I love traveling this route. Give me a passion for your words of wisdom and not for piling up loot. Divert my eyes from toys and trinkets. Invigorate me on the pilgrim way. Affirm your promises to me, promises made to all who fear you. Deflect the harsh words of my critics, but what you say is always so good. See how hungry I am for your counsel. Preserve my life through your righteous ways. And so I wanted to read it in two versions so that if you are reading one of your normal version at home and you look at it and you think, what? Don't be afraid to read other versions and get the meaning of what is being said. How teachable are you? How teachable am I? God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Or are we of the nature that we say, been there, seen that, done it, what's done once comes around again, you know, I've got the t-shirt. How good are we at remaining teachable? Or have we closed our minds to certain things? Because I believe that the psalmist has learned a valuable lesson. If we don't sit at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary did, much to Martha's angst, if we don't sit at the feet of Jesus, then we'll not stay the course. Or if we do, it's jolly hard. It won't be an easy course that we chart. As a child, I didn't listen to the teaching of my mother not to run around in case I would fall. Of course I wouldn't fall. Of course I would fall, and I've still got the mark to show it, the scar. Chose not to listen to wise advice. Wise advice in the Word. And how often do we choose not to listen to it? In Acts 8, Philip asks the Ethiopian eunuch if he understands what he's reading from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And he turns around and he says, well, how can I, unless someone interprets it for me? Explains it. And then Philip knows exactly why he's been put there. And he begins to teach the Ethiopian eunuch. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me, says the eunuch, says the psalmist. Do we say the same thing? Give me insight so that I can do what you tell me. And then in verse 36, give me a passion for your words of wisdom, not for other things. Now that was the reason for the bubbles. Give me a passion for your words of wisdom. You see, it's so, so easy to take our eyes off God and focus them on our next desire, our next goal, or the next thing in life. And in Joshua, go back to Joshua 7, where you know the story of the Battle of Jericho. And God gives them Jericho. Brilliant. God also says to them, you're not to take any spoils out of the land. Nothing. Everything is dedicated to me. Any gold and stuff, it's there. It's mine. And of course they go in. And of course one of them sees a little bit. Well, a fair little bit, but you know, just a little haul, wrap it up. No one knows. Off he goes with it and buries it in his tent. And the next battle that they fight is at Ai. And it's an easy one. It's a very little place. And after what they've just achieved, and, you know, this is going to be a walkover. Yeah, you don't need all the army. And what happens? Yeah. And they come back and they say, well, now our reputation's shot by the rest of all around us. You know, this is, you know, and God says, you've disobeyed me. There is a lesson here. There's lots of lessons there. Achan's sin, because God picked him out in a way that is really, I thought, quite terrifying for poor old Achan and his family. But Achan admitted his sin. He died, as he did his whole family line, as a result of that sin. God always sees us. Achan didn't think it would matter. It was done in secret. God always sees. And the other thing about that is that certainly in that situation, what he did affected the whole. It affects everybody. And sin always affects people other than the person who's doing the sin. But when it's in relationship together in church, it becomes even more of an issue. That's for another time. But just think of Joshua there. Achan took his eyes off God and saw treasure and was tempted. Temptation wasn't the problem. Doing it was. And that's true for us. We can take our eyes off God. And for us, the treasure might be the next car, or it might be the perfect body, or the new settee, or the necklace, or the holiday, the job, the hobby. Anything that takes our eyes off God, anything that we chase after rather than him, can become a problem. Anything can be worthless. Because it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And we're told worthless things. The psalmist talks about worthless things here. Worthless things equals vanity, which equals emptiness. Chasing worthless things. Bubbles that burst. Doesn't mean that we don't need some of these things. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is if our eyes are on that, we're not on God. And I believe that God wants us to feast our eyes upon him so that everything else is a mere shadow compared to him. And then in verse 40, the psalmist says he realizes how hungry he is to know more of God. Hungry. To know more of God. Hungry. When was the last time you were really hungry to find out more from God? Hungry. What does Jesus say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew 5:6. When was the last time we were hungry to hear from God? And I said at the beginning that the Bible deserves a top priority in our lives. So we need to learn, we need to obey, and we need to love God's word. And yeah, we all know this, don't we? We can all nod our heads and say, yeah, we understand everything of this. You're totally in agreement with me. And then we either go about our weekly jobs or work or roles in life and totally forget it. Or we can have the danger of going out from here thinking, oh, foo, you know, the weight is too much to bear. I feel a bit, you know, I can't cope with this, Lord. Neither of those are where the Lord wants us, I'm sure of that. And so I want to leave us with just a few practical points. Firstly, get a good modern translation of the Bible. Now, I know that the King James was the modern word, and for many people it's the one that we should be reading, But the King James Bible was written in 1611, 400 plus years ago, and it was written by people who were, there were many, many theologians. It is considered to be, because of the number of people who contributed to it, a really good source. Yes. But if you find it difficult to understand the wording now because of the these and the thous and the way that it's written, then don't be afraid to pick up something and read it again in a version that you think, oh, okay, now I hear, so what's that and what's that? Okay, Lord, teach me what you're saying through it. Okay? So it's just, these are suggestions. I'm not, you know, you can fight it out with me later. And then secondly, if you find the Bible difficult, and I know nowadays, I have a thing about, you know, everybody reads their Bible on their phone. There's nothing wrong with that, and you've got umpteen versions to go from on their phone. But do you know what happens? When I used to go through London, I used to go on the Underground, and I used to get off one main station, go down a rabbit hole into an Underground station, pop up somewhere else in another from another Underground station, get on another train. I had absolutely no idea what London looked like. It was all rabbit holes. I was going down all these places, and I was totally lost. And for me, if you read it always, the Bible, always from your phone, you won't get an idea of all of this. You know, you don't get a feel for what God has written here. It's just me. You can, you know, some people find it really helpful. I'm getting old. So, you know, and I would then suggest that you start in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. The rest of the New Testament, effectively, are the letters that have been written to work out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the very basic idea. And then the New Testament has been, if you like, interprets the Old Testament, okay? But if you start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you can maybe look at Psalms and maybe Proverbs, and then just get little bite-sized pieces. Be prayerful. Ask God to show you, through the Holy Spirit's teaching, the truths of what you're reading. Jesus actually says the Holy Spirit had to come because he was the one that would teach you. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you have been learning from the scriptures. I'm not sure that the Holy Spirit will teach you from a scripture that... No, maybe not. Forget that one. You can think about what I was going to say, which I think was wrong, so I'm going to forget that. Okay, so be prayerful. Lord, show me, reveal to me the truths of what I'm reading. And then be persistent. Persistent, okay? Don't give up if you miss a day or two. And the other thing I would suggest is, don't think, oh, I promised the Lord I'm going to do a chapter a day. Be careful what you promise the Lord, by the way, because if you promise a chapter a day, you need to stick to a chapter a day. But, I said to myself, I will read a chapter a day, and you haven't done it, then, and you haven't done it for 7 days, and then you come back to it and you think, oh, I've got to do 7 chapters now before I catch up with myself. That is a disaster area waiting to happen. And I would suggest to you that you maybe even start with a verse a day, maybe 2. Some of you will want to devour whole chunks of scripture, and others of you will say, oh, I can't cope with more than a verse. Well, I don't think the Lord minds. What he does mind is that you're reading his word. And that's what he delights in. So just one verse a day is actually a good way to begin, because you can then read it and say, oh, okay, what is that saying to me? So be prayerful, be persistent, and then be practical. Be practical. If whilst you're reading it, you hear something, write it down. Write that verse down. Stick it on your fridge. Put it in your purse. Carry it in your pocket. Take it with you wherever you're going to see it, really. And then read it. Oh, Lord, yes. Yeah, what are you saying to me in that verse? Read it. Carry it with you. Hold on to it. Devour it. And dare I say, even try and memorize it. Your minds are quicker than mine now. I find that if I try to memorize now, it goes out the other end. But, you know, memorize scripture as much as you can. Okay. Get a version that's helpful to you. Start maybe in the New Testament if you haven't read much recently. Be prayerful about what you do. Lord, show me what you're saying through this. Be persistent. Keep at it. And then be practical in what you take with you. I'm going to leave you with some comments from Max Lucado on his take on this. God's word lights our path, enlightens our mind with truth, and deepens both our love for God and our understanding of his ways. The key, he says, to spiritual growth is not increased church attendance or involvement in spiritual activities. People don't grow in Christ because they are busy at church. They grow in Christ when they read and trust their Bibles. Desire some glory days? Engage with the Bible. Meditate on it day and night. Think and rethink about God's word. Let it be your guide. Make it your go-to book for questions. Let it be the ultimate authority in your life. Don't chart your course according to the opinions of people or suggestions of culture. YouTube is great. We can turn to it and do everything we want on there and get all the information we like. But do we trust it? Yeah? Go to a source that you trust. And if you do, sorry, I've stopped myself halfway through. Don't start your course, chart your course according to the opinions of people or suggestions of culture. If you do, you will make the mistake that the farmer's son made. The farmer sent the boy to prepare a field, reminding him to till straight lines. Select an object on the far side of the field and plow straight at it. And later, when the father checked on the boy's progress, there wasn't a straight furrow to be found. Every row was uneven and wavy. I told you to select an object and plow towards it, Dad said. I did, the boy answered. But the rabbit kept hopping. A straight line, like a good life, requires an unmoving target. Set your sights on the unchanging principles of God. Let God's word be the authoritative word in your world. Lord, may your word be the authoritative word in this fellowship. Amen. We're going to finish with a song, Ancient of Days, Blessing and Honor. All goes to him.